We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha. This shiur is the 26th shiur on this topic. And we're in the Likutei Halachos in Orach Chaim, volume 1 of the standard sets, in middle of Hilchos Nefilas Apayim, Halacha Dalet. We started speaking about this in the previous shiur, and we'll try to pick up, maybe encapsulate a little of what we learned then and pick up from there. We had mentioned earlier, when we were in the Likutei Moran, the second half of Likutei Moran, one of the last shiurim, we spoke about the importance of simcha, and that simcha is not complete unless you're able to bring the worries and the negativity into the simcha and nullify it over there also. We had mentioned, based on a chapter on Likutei Moran, that very often the nature of the worries and the negativity that's going on with a person is that when the person is experiencing a happy time, something very, very good, the other stuff runs away. It leaves with the intention of coming back in full power as soon as the simcha wears off or finishes or dries up, etc., etc. And therefore, Rabbi Nezal there quotes the pasuk Sosoin v'simcho yasigu, that when a person achieves Sosoin and Simcha, which means different types of happiness, v'nosu yogoin v'anocha, the yogoin v'anocha, the sadness, the struggle, runs away, tries to run away. And Rabbi Nezal's advice is, don't let him get away. Go after them, grab them, and bring them into the dance. Bring them into the joy. And Rabbi Nezal explains that, and Rabbi Nosson Zal explained it also. We've spent time on this, just very briefly. The concept is that when a person is very happy, and they're in this frame of mind of expanded consciousness, they're thinking clearly and well, then a person, rather than avoiding the problems or ignoring them, or making believe they're not there, that term denial, not denying it at all. I know that I have this problem, I know that I have this list of problems, but based on my happiness at this moment, if it's a true happiness, if it's a happiness that's connected to Hashem, that's connected to Torah, to mitzvah, which means it's an eternal happiness. It's not a temporary high. It's not happy over something that's going to last a couple hours and then it's gone. It's happy. I'm celebrating an occasion or a happening that has something to do with Hashem or religion. There it's something that's eternal. In other words, the celebration of a bar mitzvah, of a wedding, of a bris milah. We know that this event, the event of a bris milah, it's not something that's 3 hours and the party and the suda and then everybody goes home and forgets about it. Forget about nothing. This child now, for their entire life and for eternity, is registered among Klal Yisrael. And this act of bris milah elevated this child to the status of tzaddik, the amech kulam tzaddikim. Rabbi Nezal said every person who has a bris milah enters into the category of tzaddik, or a Jewish child that experiences bar mitzvah crossing that line, where now he's every mitzvah that he does, he's being commanded directly by Hashem to do it. Up until that point, when he did a mitzvah, it was something nice, it was something good, but it wasn't with being challenged by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination. Once a person crosses that line where they're older than 13 years old, their mitzvah voice, as the Gemara says, at this point I'm obligated to do it. With that obligation comes opposition. With that obligation comes the Yetzer Hara, who's going to try to do everything in the world to stop me from doing the mitzvah or stop me from doing it properly. And if I win, if I make the effort and I succeed, it's an eternal success. It's something that's forever, etc. So when a person is experiencing that kind of simcha, then they have the ability to look at whatever problems they have, and the problems suddenly become micro in comparison. Because whatever problems a person has in this physical world, even if we're talking about health, physical illness, financial struggle, all kinds of different problems, chas v'shalom, maximum 120 years or 80 years, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the joy and happiness that's related to something eternal, completely different league. And that can negate, that can minimize the pain and suffering and difficulty of the problems that the person perceives they have. And we mentioned that when a person does this, this item plays a that's what completes the simcha. Hashem's definition of joy and happiness is that the happiness is not complete unless you are able to take your problems, your suffering, your pain, your difficulty, and include it, throw it into the pot, bring it into the arena of happiness, and make it part of the happiness. I'm not just happy because for this moment I'm blanking out, I'm ignoring my problems, not at all. With the realization of all the different problems that I have, they are part of my joy. Part of my happiness is that even though I have these problems, even though I have these difficulties, I still have what to celebrate in a major, major way. And Rabbeinu Zal and Rabbi Nosson Zal give many examples of this in Yiddishkeit that we mentioned. The case of Shabbos versus the weekdays, that Shabbos is not complete without including a little bit of Friday and a little bit of Sunday into it. The Jewish nation versus the other nations of the world. The Jewish nation is not complete without including into it the Balei Tshuva and the Geirim, those people who we would think are on the outside. They've fallen away. They've fallen out. They're not part of Klal Yisrael. They're not part of observant Jewry. And we know that Klal Yisrael is not complete, and the Geula, the redemption, can't happen until a certain number of people are chozer b'tshuva, and until a certain number of non-Jews actually convert. The Gemara says, even though obviously we do not proselytize, we do not encourage non-Jews to come and join, but it's a fact of life. The Gemara says that one of the reasons why the Jewish people are in exile is in order that Geirim should be able to come and join us. And it's only when they come and join, when the Balei Tshuva and the Geirim come and join and connect, that's what completes the holiness and the joy of Klal Yisrael. I'd like to just read a very short paragraph from the Likutei Halachos, because, and translate, obviously, because every word here is very critical in our discussion. We were speaking, the part that we were speaking about towards the end of the previous year was the fact that tefillah, our prayer, is a display of our joy and happiness in religion. The pasuk v'simachtim beveis tefilosi v'havioisim el harkochi, Hashem says, I will bring them to my holy mountain, v'simachtim, and I will fill them with joy and happiness in my house of prayer. So that tefillah is a form of happiness. And the Zohar HaKodesh, the Arizal, the Sifrei Kabbalah show us how in the tefillah of Shachris, how we're actually climbing through the different spiritual worlds. The tefillah is divided up into four sections: Karbonos, Psukei Dezimra, Birchos Kriyashma, and then the climax being Shmon Esrei. These four divisions of the tefillah, and how we start off in the lowest world, which again is the place of the least simcha, and then we go up in Psukei Dezimra, the place where we express the songs of David HaMelech and Tehillim. The second part of the tefillah is a higher level of simcha. Then we get to the Kriya Shema, where we declare our faith in the unity of Hashem. That's a still higher level of simcha. We mentioned the Zohar HaKodesh says on the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that the word Shema and Echad, the last letter of Shema, the Ayin, and the Dalid of Echad, make up the word aid, which means testimony, testifying, that with this declaration, listen, Jewish nation, Hashem is one, we're declaring our faith in the unity of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. And those letters appear in the Sefer Torah unusually large, the ayin and the dalet. The Zohar HaKadosh says the remaining letters, the shin ayin of Shema, and the aleph ches of Echad spell the word esmach, anochi esmach b'Hashem. That again, when a Jew believes in Hashem, that Jew is happy. Because if I believe, if I know that this world has someone in charge of it who is perfectly capable, most of the pain and suffering and struggle that people have in life is that insecurity that there are things wrong, something's wrong with me, something's wrong with my situation, something's wrong with, there are bad things going on, terrible things happening in the world. But the more a person is aware that everything that's going on is right, that there's a Baal Habira, there's a master of the world who knows exactly what he's doing, and everything is for a purpose, and everything is gearing up towards an ultimate goodness, that eventually we're going to see how all of this was part of a success for Klal Yisrael, a success for Hashem, and for the total good of the entire universe. The more a person realizes that, the more a person can be happy. And then we said we reach a climax in Shmon Esrei. That in Shmon Esrei, a person takes the three steps back before they begin, and then they take three steps forward. I'm coming, I'm entering into the highest of the worlds, the world of Atzilus, the closest I can possibly get to Hashem. And in the Shmon Esrei, there I get to say certain wondrous praises of Hashem. I get to draw on the merit of the tzaddikim, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, and then I express my awareness of Hashem's greatness in the first three blessings and the last three blessings, and then in the middle, I go through asking Hashem for everything I need. All the needs of a human being are included and expressed within those brachos in the middle. The first and foremost, that begging Hashem for das and refuah and slicha and tshuva and chachma and parnosa, everything is included there. And we said that when a person gets to there, we're on top of the mountain, we've reached the pinnacle. Then why is it that after Shmon Esrei, we go into the vidui? Vidui means we're recalling our sins. We're recalling our worst experiences in life. Why would you want to do that when you've gotten to the top? And we mentioned that the reason why we do that is because even though we've gotten to the top, even though we've gotten to a certain level of complete simcha, it can't be complete, it is not considered complete, without being to bring into it certain sparks of holiness, certain aspects of simcha that have fallen down into the dumps, down into the klipos, into the other side. And the way that we go down to retrieve those sparks and bring them up is by going into this place, recalling our sins, reviewing, confessing our sins, the tachnun, oshamnu, bogatnu, gozalnu. That takes us away from Hashem in a sense. That takes us all the way down, down, down into the place of the Sitra Achra. Because any sins that we committed, we were encouraged by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination. And the sin is what makes distance between a person and Hashem. So by going into that place, I'm going all the way back down by confessing, by acknowledging my mistake and asking for forgiveness. We believe that the sin is erased. And in certain cases, the Gemara says if the tshuva is done out of fear, then the sin is erased. If the tshuva is done me'ava, the sin gets converted to a mitzvah. It becomes a mitzvah. And now I'm gathering up those mitzvahs, those sins which got converted to mitzvahs, and I'm bringing them into the circle. I'm bringing them into the simcha, and that's what makes the simcha really complete. In the wording that the Arizal uses, the Sifrei Kabbalah use, that's what prepares the keser, the crown, which is the real top, which a crown is multi-purpose. One of the purposes of a crown is described as a fence around the head. A crown encircles the head like a fence encircles a property. And the Sforim explain that as when a person is climbing and getting closer and closer to Hashem, they're reaching higher and higher levels of joy, of spirituality. There's a major danger of a blowout, of an overkill, of a burnout, of too much light, which could cause major destruction. And therefore, it's incredibly important, the finishing touch, what completes an ascent in Kedusha. When a person climbs, like we do through Shacharis, we climb, and we get higher, closer and closer to Hashem, it is not complete until we put on the keser, the crown, which is this fence around the seichel to contain it, to make sure that our brain is going to stay within certain boundaries. Even though I'm trying to get close to Hashem, even though I'm trying to go up, but it's with certain boundaries, knowing that for right now, each and every person, for right now, I can only go up to here. And if I try to go further than that, it can cause major destruction. Just like when Hashem came down to give the Torah on Har Sinai, one of the most important instructions that he gave Klal Yisrael at that time was, he warned Moshe Rabbeinu, put a circle around the mountain and warned the Jews not to go past a certain line. Because if they do, pen yeher sulal es lashem, v'nofal mimenu amrov. If they try to go up too high, too far, if they try to cross the line beyond which they're not supposed to go, there'll be major destruction. This keser, this crown, this fence, which is the top, which is the ultimate in simcha also, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk, v'simchas oilam al roisham, their eternal joy on their heads, al roisham, not biroisham, not in their heads, al roisham, that the pinnacle, the peak of simcha is compared to a crown. And that's what puts this protective fence around the person's brain to make sure that there won't be any damage, any harm from going too high, from trying to be too spiritual, etc. That keser gets put on after we did this vidui, after we did the confession. When we do this in the Nefilas Sapayim, we put our faces down on our hands. And we say that Rachum V'Chanun, where we plead with Hashem to bring us close, after we've confessed, that's what puts the closing touch, that keser on the simcha, that's what completes the entire process. Now, this short paragraph that I wanted to mention, Rav Nosson Zal writes here that for this is in paragraph Beis in Halacha Dalet, in order to complete this process and put this protective fence around our moichim that they shouldn't go too high, for this we need the confession. Because through all of our sins, one of the worst things, one of the major damages that our sins causes, Neuflim nitzutze kedusha bein haklipois. There are sparks of holiness that fall out of the realm of holiness into the place of the klipois, the tuma, the impure. They fall down into the hands of the sitrachra. And that's the worst damage that's caused by sins. Kiyodua, as is known, Rav Nosson Zal writes. And the main, the cause of all of this is the result of sins is depression, sadness. As the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 38, Edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins. Sins bring on worry, unhappiness, depression. Because the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem, which is a composite of all aspects of holiness, the Shekhinah is joy and happiness. The klipos, which are the antithesis of the Shekhinah, they're the opposition to the Shekhinah. If the Shekhinah is happiness, then the klipos are unhappiness, depression. And they represent the midas hadin, the judgment of Hashem. And through our sins, we cause sparks of holiness, which means sparks of happiness, to fall to out of the realm, out of the arena of Kedusha, into the place of the Sitra Achra. And then the depression takes over, unhappiness takes over, and it blocks the Jew, the individual Jew, or the entire Jewish people from being happy. And this is when we use the term Golus HaShechina, the Shechina, the Spirit of Hashem being in exile. This is what we're referring to. We're referring to this happiness that's absent, that's lacking within the Jewish people, within an individual person. That's Golus HaShechina. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say, through this procedure, through our tefillah, through climbing through these different levels, and by making sure not to ignore our mistakes, not to ignore the sins, but rather we're going to include them in the joy. We're going to bring them in. We're not going to forget. We're not going to make believe. We're not in denial that now I'm a malach, now I'm an angel, I'm a holy person, I'm a tzaddik. I didn't forget that I committed sins. I'm going to take those sins, I'm going to put them on the table. I'm going to acknowledge them. I'm going to plead for forgiveness. And I'm going to show that I really believe that Hashem does forgive, that even though I made all of these mistakes, the pasuk says, "Mechase pshov lo yatzliach." If a person tries to cover up and hide their sins, they will not succeed. Umoide, if the person confesses and admits to their sins, v'oizev, and they accept upon themselves that they're not going to repeat it, I'm going to try my best not to repeat those sins, yerucham, they will draw kindness from Hashem. And it's bringing that into the equation. That's what really puts a shleimus. That's what takes the person to the peak of simcha, to the peak of joy and happiness, which means spirituality, which means closeness to Hashem. Now the question is, what about Shabbos? What about Yontif? On those days, we don't say tachnun. We don't say the vidui, we don't have nefilas apayim. Why not? And the answer is because the Torah tells us that Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. That's like the world of the future, the world to come, when then the simcha will be at a peak. When the pasuk describes our redemption, our going out of exile, it says, ki besimcha seitzeyun. When we come out of Golus, exile is unhappiness. Geula is simcha, joy. The Arizal, the Zohar Kodesh show that the root of the word Geula, the word Goal, Gimel, Aleph, Lamed, in the code of Atbash, where we swap the first letter of the alphabet with the last letter of the alphabet, the second one from the beginning with the second one from the end, and so on and so forth. The word Goal, the Gimel, becomes a Resh. Gimel is the third letter from the beginning. Aleph Beis Gimel. Resh is the third letter from the end. Tuf Shin Resh. The Aleph becomes a Tuf. We have Resh, Tuf, and the Lamed becomes a Chaf. So that the word Goal in Atbash is Keser, which means, we said before, Keser is the epitome of Simcha, the top of joy and happiness. So redemption is super happiness. Shabbos is a taste of the redemption. It's a taste of Olam Haba. And when the Torah describes the world of the future, it says, V'omar bayoyim hahu, on that day, the Jews will say, Hine Elokeinu zeh. That's Hashem. That's the one who I believed in. When I was in exile, I couldn't see him. Then the lights were off. We were in darkness. We couldn't see Hashem. But now that we're out of the Golus, Zeh Hashem. We're going to point to Hashem and say, that's him. Kivinu loy. This is the one who we hoped for, who we prayed for. Nogila v'nismacha b'shuasai. And we will rejoice. We will experience the greatest degree of happiness with Hashem's salvation. And this is why on Shabbos and on Yontif, which is also a taste of Shabbos, Shabbos is called the crown, the leader of all the holidays, Tchilo l'mikroi kodesh. On Shabbos and Yontif, we don't say tachnun, we don't say vidui, we don't have nefilas apayim, Because on those days, the klipos are out to lunch. They're out of the framework completely. They have no power, no authority, no rulership on Shabbos and Yontif. And therefore, there's no need to go into their domain to take anything out of there. They have no domain on Shabbos. They have no place. They're excluded completely from Shabbos. And therefore, on Shabbos and Yontif, the simcha can be complete. That's when without that process of having to go into the sitrachra, without having to find our problems and search for them, we know that on Shabbos, the halacha says, a Jew is not supposed to ask Hashem for their personal needs, because on Shabbos, there are no personal needs. On Shabbos, I am not lacking in anything. On Shabbos, we are elevated to a frame of mind. This is all in the mind. A frame of mind where I have everything I need. I am completely happy. I'm not lacking in anything. That's Shabbos. That's Yontif. Therefore, we exclude the Tachnun, the Vidui. Now we come to one of the holidays, which is Purim, which is listed in many respects as the holiest and therefore the happiest of all the holidays. We mentioned earlier, and we reiterate, that Rav Nosson Zal says that the word Kiddusha, holiness, and the word Simcha, happiness, are synonymous, are interchangeable in many cases. A person cannot be holy, a place cannot be holy if it's not a place of joy and happiness. Whether it's a person's home, whether it's a shul, whether it's a place of learning Torah, all of these places, in order for the place to have holiness in it, it has to have happiness. And the right kind of happiness is what leads to holiness and purity. So now we come to the holiday of Purim, whereby the Zohar HaKadosh says that to most people refer to the high holidays as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those are the high holidays. The highest holiday is Purim. The Tikkun HaZohar says Yom Kippur is called in the Torah Yom Kippurim. It's a day that's like Purim. It comes close. It's not as great, it's not as holy as Purim, but it comes close to it. This day of Purim, we know that the focus is Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, the Megillah says. It's a time of extraordinary happiness to the point where certain things that are usually off limits, excessive drinking, which is referred to as the place of the Sitra Achra, a drunken state of mind, Chas V'Shalom, or fun, going, in other words, the excessive fun, is usually referred to as something off-limits or dangerous. Schoik and Kalus Roish, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, usually lead to sin. And yet, on this day of Purim, we're told that this is such a holy day and such a happy day that we have the ability even to introduce these things, drinking more wine than usual, putting on costumes, doing things that are silly, ridiculous, that seem out of the framework of sechel, of das, which is the frame of mind that a Jew usually wants to be in. A Jew wants to be sane. A Jew wants to be intelligent. The Gemara says that the only way a person commits sins is if a ruach shtus takes over, a spirit of foolishness takes the person over. That's what gets us to commit a sin. And yet it seems on Purim that we're intentionally going into that place of foolishness, silliness, drinking. And the reason is, Rav Nosson Zal explains, that it's because of the fact that Purim is a day when we engage our worst enemy. Out of all the different nations in the world, all 70 nations of the world oppose the Jewish people. The Torah compares us to a sheep among 70 wolves. None of them are our friends. in every generation, at all times, there are chassidei umay soilam. There are a small percentage among the goyim, among the nations, who are kind, who are good to the Jewish people. And the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about a Gan Eden for them. There is a Gan Eden set aside for these chassidei umay soilam, for that rare breed of non-Jew who actually likes, respects the Jewish people and seeks our good. But on the general whole, the 70 nations are looked upon as wolves against the sheep, being the sheep representing the Jewish people. The one who is a composite of all 70 is Amalek. Amalek is referred to as the ultimate of evil. And it's on Purim that we engage that one. That's when there was the showdown between Mordechai HaTzadik, representing the Jewish people, Mordechai and Esther, versus Haman, who comes from Amalek and Esav. Haman, whose evil dates back to the original evil of the Eitz Hadas, the first stumbling block for mankind, when Adam and Chava, which introduced death, suffering, depression into the world, was the Eitz Hadas. As a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem issued a curse, Be'itzovoin toichlena, with depression, itzovoin atzvus, be'etzev tel dibonim, that a woman giving birth is going to go through difficulty, depression, suffering, death, the struggle for parnosa, be'itzovoin toichlena, all came about through the Eitz Hadas, which Haman represents all of this. The Gemara says, Haman minatora minayin. Where do we see Haman in the written Torah? When Hashem asked Adam and Chava, Hamin ho'eitz, did you eat from that species of tree that I told you not to? The word Hamin is the letters Haman. So Haman represents an evil. He comes from Amalek, the worst of all, total evil, and he dates back to the Eitz Hadas. And this is the Russia, this is the evil that the holiday of Purim celebrates, the downfall, the destruction of this Haman. The elimination of Haman and his children and everything he stood for. And the success and victory of Klal Yisrael over him. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, Purim is a day when the simcha is complete. Complete simcha, we said, is when you have a simcha of spirituality, but it also includes taking out of the Sitra Achra, going into the Sitra Achra, taking out of there the sparks of Kedusha that fell into there, and bringing them into the equation. Only this time it's not in the form of problems and suffering, this time it's in the form of fun, joking around, the kidding around, the costumes, the drinking to excess even, those things which are usually within the framework of the Sitra Achra. Purim is the one day of the year that we have the ability to bring that all into the Kedusha and thereby make the Simcha a complete one, a total, total Simcha. And Rav Nosson Zal points out here that this is a problem that existed during his time and continues to today. Among the Jewish people, in terms of our attitude towards Torah and mitzvahs, there are two camps. There's one camp that tries to rationalize Hashem, tries to rationalize everything in the Torah, tries to rationalize the mitzvahs, tries to explain that the mitzvahs are all about living a good, healthy, proper life. And they try to give explanations. For example, the mitzvah of sukkah. Why we go out to the sukkah. They try to explain that it has to do with health. It has to do with going out into the fresh air and the atmosphere. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is so absurd and ridiculous. If that's what we're all about, what about the schach? What about the most important part of the sukkah according to the Torah, which is this roof with the bamboo sticks? What does that have to do with health? And why of all times in many parts of the world, such as Russia, Ukraine, Eastern Europe, Sukkah is a time when it's not fresh air. It could have torrential rain and snow on Sukkahs. And this is the time that Hashem designated for, if it were a matter of then Sukkahs would be in different seasons for different regions, and it's not. Rav Nosson Zal uses this as one example where if people try to rationalize the mitzvahs, they try to explain the mitzvahs without realizing that this has to do with spirituality, this has to do with eternity, this is something which we don't understand and can't explain in the rational world, but rather the explanations for the mitzvahs, the few that we do have in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in the Sifrei Chassidus, go way beyond, you know, natural terms and way beyond the physical world. Those people, when they try to do that, they take the joy and happiness out of religion, out of Yiddishkeit. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, if you want to stick to the physical world, we learned earlier that in the physical world, a person could have $100 million and be very unhappy. The Mishnah says, Mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga, that in most cases, the wealthier the people are, the more suffering, the more unhappy, the more depression, the more therapists they're seeing, the more places they're going for rehab, the more suicides, all of that we find more in the supposed successes in the physical world. The stars, the great stars. So Rav Nosson Zal says, if the actual success itself in the physical world doesn't really bring permanent happiness, you're going to try to tell me that the mitzvahs, which these people try to denigrate, they try to lower the mitzvahs and to try to explain them purely in physical terms, that it's all about living a good, living a life within natural means. It's all about kashrus, it's all about eating healthy, preserving your body and your health and the atmosphere and all of those things. If the supposed greatest successes in this world, they don't achieve happiness, a Torah, a mitzvah that's limited to fit to the physical world, could that be any source of major happiness and joy? Could that be a source of eternal joy and happiness? Ridiculous, impossible. It's only those Jews who believe in Hashem, believe in the Torah, and believe that Hashem and the Torah are way above the rational and the physical, and every mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of tzitzis, wearing a pair of tzitzis, it's not to keep us warm or to help our perspiration or the mitzvah of tzitzis is something which we believe has to do with all kinds of spiritual connections to Hashem and rectification of worlds, all kinds of incredible high spiritual levels. If a person believes, is aware of that and believes in that, then I can have joy of the realization that by going out and spending $10, $15 on a pair of tzitzis and wearing this, which is relatively easy, it's not so difficult, this plugs me into Hashem. This plugs me into spirituality. This expands my consciousness. This gives me the ability to relate to the Torah and to the Jew on a much higher level than without it. Then it's something that can bring me to be happy about, to be really happy about. And so too, the example of Purim, like we said, people doing things, showing a frivolousness, which people who are purely rational and purely intellectual would look at possibly and mock and denigrate, because they don't realize, they don't believe in the fact that the Torah is above the rational, it's above intellect, it's above our intellect. It not only represents the highest level of intelligence, but it goes way beyond that into the spiritual, which we realize we don't understand. And it's only a person who's practicing Yiddishkeit in that way, with the realization that we don't understand the mitzvahs completely, we don't rationalize them, they're not limited to the physical world, but rather the mitzvahs are wires to connect us to the spiritual and to elevate us to eternity, it's only that kind of that practice of Yiddishkeit that can afford the person that when a person studies Torah and does the mitzvahs in that way, they experience this the real kind of joy, a permanent joy, and a joy that's a much higher level than any joy that a person gets from doing anything that's limited to the physical world. And this is the celebration on Purim. Rav Nosson Zal connects this to what we mentioned in a previous year, the story of Dovid HaMelech, who when he found himself in the dumps, in the worst danger, when he was taken captive by the Philistines and he was brought before the king of the Philistines, and it looked like the complete end for him, the way that he was able to save himself and take himself out of that was by being able to act irrational, to do things that were totally irrational, funny, silly. That's what ended up saving Dovid HaMelech at that time, where the king of Achish Melagas said to him, get this crazy guy out of here. He didn't want to hear that this was the person who had killed Goliath, their greatest hero. This is the person who had caused them pain and anguish and suffering all the years. Just get him out of here. And this is what saved Dovid HaMelech's life, the fact that even though Dovid HaMelech, throughout the Sefer Tehillim, we see that Dovid HaMelech was the master of joy, that even through the most difficult times that he was going through, he was always able to hang in, he was always able to continue his faith in Hashem, his faith in himself. But in this case, we see that Dovid HaMelech also knew this secret, that there are certain times when a person has to go even beyond that, even outside the arena of rational and serious, and to go into the arena of fun, giddy, the type of joy that we experience on Purim. And this is what saved him on that occasion. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we find during the time of the Baal Shem Tov and during Rav Nosson Zal's time, the leading tzaddikim, many of them were known to have a badchan. A badchan was a person who was an expert in humor, in making jokes, in making people laugh. And the great tzaddikim, the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, many of them had these badchanim. Rav Nosson Zal says, because they knew that as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, the darkness increases, the power of the Sitrachra gets stronger, it becomes more and more difficult for a Jew to be happy. And especially the religious people, and especially the tzaddikim, the Satan, the Yetzirah, will try to do everything he can to block them from being happy. And these tzaddikim realized that there were times that they would have to resort to these badchanim, a person who's an expert in humor, in making a joke, in knowing how to make a clean joke, obviously, not within the realm, the framework of chas v'shalom, something illicit or illegal or dirty, within the realm of clean. People who were experts in humor, who could make them laugh, and thereby be able to bring them into a frame of mind where they could study Torah, do mitzvahs, and attain the incredible heights that they were zeichet to attain. But they knew that they would have to come on to this type of fun, that in our generations, where the power of the Sitrachra is so strong, there are many times when it's impossible for a religious Jew to be able to maintain a constant, strong simcha and a constant, strong loyalty and allegiance to Hashem with Torah and mitzvahs without being able to draw on this fun, this humor, this joke, this badchonus. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us about Rav Hamnuna, one of the great tzaddikim, who prepared these jokes and humor to include as a preparation before giving a shir, to bring the people into a state of a consciousness, an expanded consciousness, an open mind, to be ready to be able to receive the Torah on its highest levels. Shem should help that we should be zeicher to learn from the examples given here and from the advice that Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal give us, how during our time, we're living 150 years after Rav Nosson Zal, we're getting closer to the coming of Moshiach, when the darkness is stronger, the struggle for a person to be happy becomes even more difficult. And to be able to know how to draw on the advice being given here, the faith in Hashem, the faith in the Torah, the realization that the Torah is way beyond our rationale, and the benefits of the mitzvahs go way beyond anything temporary, anything what's limited to the physical world. And to be able to draw even on mili d'shtusa, on fun, sometimes to be able to bring us to the simcha that we need, to be able to excel in Torah and mitzvahs, and then that's zechus bizricha to the kibesimcha seitzayon, to be able to leave this golus completely and finally with the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, merav yameinu, amen v'amen.